meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Hi, Tony and Christina.
Hi, Father. Welcome.
How are you guys today?
It has been busy.
Same thing, Nick, too. Everybody's busy.
Everybody's busy. That's right.
It's a good sign that we're alive.
You know how some people, they'll say, oh, I'm bored. I'm like, I have no time to be bored.
No time to be bored.
No, there's no time for that.
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you think this is the end of the world?
I do.
Why? It feels like it.
So give me, there's five signs, but give me your, why do you say that?
For me, it's just that, just the way it is for me. I always get in these moods where it's like the end of the world.
It's just the way the world is it's getting worse.
Yeah.
Like people are, and I don't want to generalize, but what I see out there, people are so distant from God. What else? The moral values are not there anymore. It's like you say, Father, it's a diabolical disorientation. Everything is upside down.
Yeah.
Anything goes.
So what's our response to the signs of the times?
We just have to continue persevering and stay close to the Lord. And
yeah, the reason why I bring this up is mm-hmm. because I'm still in the present mm-hmm. and enduring crisis that has enveloped the church, which has been a lot of it is rehashing stuff, mm-hmm. From years and years ago. Most of it is. Because actually, I read that in the last, I forgot how many years since, I don't remember. Before I say this, I should check it out. Anyway, so I'm not going to even say it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's just that people keep asking me,
mm-hmm.
They want to know what really is happening,
right.
Because it is shaking the faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you why. Even if somebody has faith, I mean, they're, regardless of what happens,
mm-hmm.
I'm mm-hmm. Unapologetically a Catholic. I love my mm-hmm. faith. I love the sacred liturgy. I love the whole mysticism of the church. It gives me solace, it gives me strength, it gives me a sense of who I am, mm-hmm. what I must do, where I'm going, where I came from.
Yes.
So
That's our identity.
So mm-hmm. when one's identity is woven into the faith of the church,
mm-hmm.
then it's in response to the question that Jesus set before the apostles when many of his disciples abandoned him because of the hardness of the teaching. This is an intolerable teaching when he was really speaking about the mystery of the Holy Eucharist, mm-hmm. that he would remain with us as bread and wine, his body and blood he would give us to strengthen us on the journey. This would be a food unto eternal life. And when many of the disciples thought, well, this is too hard, and they walk away, Jesus looked at the 12 and he says, do you wish to go? And he knew one of them would betray him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, do you wish to go as well? And Peter said, Lord, where do we go? We believe, we've come to believe, you have the words of life everlasting. And we stay with you. And many of us can say nothing different, because our identity, because we know we have the grace of the faith that, and we have the relationship that says, you know, this is I'm my life is from God. My life is destined for God. I live in God. I have no life apart from God. I can't imagine life apart from God and apart from the church, because the church dispenses, is the means by which the grace is given, right? Mm-hmm. So we're born from the womb of the church by virtue of baptism. We share in the prophetic and the priestly and the kingly office of Jesus, all of us, by virtue of baptism. How many really know that? Mm-hmm. You know, those who know that and live that, maybe they're not conscious of it every day. Those who participate or assist in the sacred liturgy, those who are trying to, you know, stay on that narrow path, because they know that it's the path that ensures not only peace and genuine freedom, but it's also the path that leads to eternal life. And so they choose to stay on that narrow path, difficult as it may be, deviate to get back on, because once you get away from that, you know that something has been taken away. You've lost something. So you want to get back on that path, because nothing in the world amounts to anything if we don't have interior peace, inner peace, and that strength that comes from God, and an inner joy that is beyond a smiling face, you know. Right now, we don't need, you know, prelates, bishops, cardinals, popes, priests who are smiling. We need a seriousness in the defense of the faith, you know, in my opinion. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the happy-go-lucky, you know. I spoke to some, it's funny. I spoke to some, and I'm not, I don't mean to be over critical, but one of the kids, good guy, good kid, you know, he's a server, and he goes to another parish, but he serves here on Sunday, and he said that he goes to another Catholic school, but he said that they have a new priest, and he came. He says, "Oh yeah, he came. He was wearing clown shoes, you know." You know, so I thought...
He was wearing clown
shoes? Clown shoes, you know.
Real clown shoes, real, or his shoes were clown shoes?
No, real clown shoes, you know.
Okay.
So I thought, well, you know, and the kid thought it was really nice and, you know, cute and all that. And okay, so I guess he was reaching the young people by wearing clown shoes, but...
was he wearing clown shoes at the mass?
I said, you're never going to see me in clown shoes, no.
Was he wearing the clown shoes at the mass?
I don't think it was.
Probably he went to visit them at school.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it was. So, you know, but I told him, you're not going to see me wearing, maybe I have a clown-looking face, but I'm not going to wear clown shoes.
You know what I think always, what's very encouraging, I don't know if you still have that image of Pope John Paul II.
Yeah, I do, in my office.
Yes, the one where he's embracing the crucifix.
Absolutely.
That is very powerful.
And his head is bent on the, as if he's bearing the weight of the world.
Yes, that's very powerful.
That's a powerful image. Yes, yes. You know, absolutely. But in any case, you know, but people who don't have that kind of faith, you know. And I say, you know, it's not like, you know, if I say that we have that faith, and I suspect, I'm almost certain that most of you listening have that faith that says, you know, this is who I am, because you know, God is God, and I'm God's creature, and you know, I'm whether we're conscious of it or not, but we should be, that we are, especially now, that we are disciples, we are the emissaries of Christ. I always like in the scripture where it speaks of, first of all, that we're children of God, so we're sons and daughters of God, the Father, who sent His only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save, to adopt us into the mystical body, into the family. So see, once you're, and we're bound to each other by the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. So it's this mystical body, this mystical family, bound by the blood of the cross. From Judaism, from the nation, this people of the covenant, bound by natural blood, you know, the Messiah comes from that nation to go out and embrace all the people, to bring them into the new covenant, that we would be bound together, saved by the blood of the Lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus, and bound together in communion in the mystical body as the family of God in the blood, in his blood. So we're adopted into the family. Jesus, from the cross, he handed over his mother. You know, that cements, solidifies the family. We have a mother, the mother of the church, the mother of God, the mother of the church, the Blessed Virgin Mary. We take her into our hearts, into our homes. You know, you can't imagine the body of Christ without the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, without the Messiah, without Jesus. But anyway, so we're sons and daughters. We have what's required of us in life, the three things we learn. Hopefully we learn this from the time we're very small. What are we expected in life to do but to know God, to love God, and to serve God, right? So we're servants of God, because we have to be servants. That means we have to be at the service of God, which means what? That we're at the service of each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about it. It's very commonsensical, right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
To be servants of God means that we're at the service of God, and what is the service of God? That we serve each other, you know? And so, to know God, to love God, to serve God. I've said this before, but I tell our students, you know, pray, you know, in your prayer, say, God, please, that I come to know that you know me, because in knowing, and when I come to realize that you know me, then you'll naturally know that you, that God loves you, right? And mm-hmm. that in God, and that this God who loves us all the while is serving us. So God serves us in the life journey. Anyway, so we're servants, and we're at the service of God, therefore at the service of each other. And so we're sons and daughters of God the Father, brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus, adopted into this mystical body. Jesus is the only begotten Son. We are adopted, so we are then therefore brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus. The Blessed Virgin Mary was his mother. She's our mother. We're brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. If we live, and then we're students, you know, we're disciples. That's what disciple means, students. So these are the disciples of Jesus. Jesus says, I pray not only for these disciples, but for those who will believe as he looks down through the ages based on their word. So we're the disciples, which means we're students. He's the master, the supreme teacher, the master teacher. We're the students, we're the disciples. We're, for the whole of our life journey, we're going to be disciples, students of the Lord, because we're always learning. And if we show ourselves to be good disciples, receptive to his teaching and to the grace that he gives us, then what does Jesus say before the night before he died? I no longer call you servants, I call you my friends, you know? So, you know, we come to this realization, I hope that everybody does, because, again, when we realize this, and then, yes, we have no identity apart from him. He's mm-hmm. everything. He's all in all. He is the mover of my life. He sustains me. He moves me. He'll lift me up when I fall. You know, I was thinking also with all this stuff going on in the society, and especially with these Kavanaugh hearings now, mm-hmm. or the hearings aren't there, but the accusations being made, and I mean, it's, and I don't want to get into the whole, because when I start talking this, people, it's amazing. I get calls. They say,
see, it's all part of the problem. That's why you bring it up. You know
what I'm
saying?
It's part of what's going on in life.
And if we're not conscious of like what's going on around us, and I sometimes envy people that can just, you know, keep it all out. I've tried to do that. I can't.
But should we keep it all out?
I wonder.
Sometimes I think, you know, we'd be better off if we did. But right. At the same time, then we're not. We've got our head in the sand.
Exactly.
You know, the fact is, we've got to engage mm-hmm. in what's going on, because this is a fight for our culture.
Exactly.
It's a fight for civilization. It's a fight for the future.
But there's so many people that, you know, they don't want to fight. You can't. I don't know if it's a matter of not understanding or just.
It's
understanding
disturbing.
That you can't do anything.
And
it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, and we have to address that, because right. people feel helpless, mm-hmm. or they're disturbed.
Right.
You know, just keep it comfortable, keep it. But let me just, so the thing about the Kavanaugh thing, I don't want to go into that because people really do, they are super hypersensitive when it comes to politics.
The
nation is, I try to rise above that. Mm-hmm. I'm not above anything. But I try to be objective and to look. But I tell you, what they're doing to that man, and you know, is absolutely incredibly horrendous, mm-hmm. horrendous, and nobody should be subjected to such a thing. And I don't want to get into the whole. Well, you know, I don't know. I know is that what they're doing is this is wrong. This mm-hmm. is this is wrong. Why did I bring that up? Because before the break, why did I bring that up? Or it was going to take me somewhere else. But gosh, this is what happens to me sometimes, you know, because I got so many things going through my head. Well, let me just say that
what society is
the society. Well, you know, we have an obligation, mm-hmm. a responsibility, and yet we have to provide some answers: what to do, how to survive.
Right.
But what's going on politically in the world is going on politically in the church.
Exactly.
And it's not just a political reality. It's also it's the moral degradation, the spiritual degradation of society, of the church. This is the crisis we're in. And, you know, as much as I do want to talk about it because this is who we are. Mm-hmm. You know, this is our identity. And I thought about, because since we've been talking about this all the time, but for the last several weeks, it seems to me, but people everywhere I go, they keep asking.
Yeah.
And they're very disturbed because they need direction.
Mm-hmm.
And to be silent or to pretend that it's not real or it's not there or it's going to go away, as many in the episcopacy seem to do, is a disservice to the people of God who are saying, you know what? This is who we are. This is our identity. And but then you've got within the church, and this is where it makes it so hard, because this division, this divide, is such that that you've got those who want radical change in the church insofar as, you know, let's ordain women, let's bless the marriage of two men or two women, advocate or support the abortion, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the leftist ideologies, the whole revamping, redefining the laws regarding sexuality and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff, you know. Marriage and family and the such, then people are very very strident about that, very violent about that, and they wield a certain power, just like we see in the society, very
right.
intimidating. So that if you disagree, you are first of all, you're shouted into silence.
Mm-hmm.
You're automatically, you know, you're bigoted, you're hateful, and you're all those phobias, you know, all
right.
these different
mm-hmm.
phobias. And and then you've got those of us, I'm certainly one of them, who say, as we talked about those the young priests who wrote in a fraternal way to the Holy Father and said, you know, with this upcoming youth synod, you know, hey, listen to us as well. You know, it seems that, you know, the church is giving charitable attention to the activists and those who feel that somehow the church is harming them because the church's teachings are don't allow for the free reign of the flesh, basically, in a nutshell, you know. And these priests are saying, hey, you know, listen to, there's a whole group of young people out there that are, you know, adhering to the faith of the church. They want clarity in teaching. They're defenders of life. They're the ones who go out in the thousands and to the Capitol in mm-hmm. November and in defense of life. These are young people. These are young vocations that know what's going on
mm-hmm.
in the church and in the society, and yet they're responding to the call of God. But these voices are being
shut down. Right?
Well, they're being shoved to the fringes of society, you know, And we talked about that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the frustration. But no, here in the winds of change, mm-hmm. as a priest, you know, and I've said this to the people, I probably said it to you as well, that I'm not here to advocate or, you know, I have opinions,
right.
But and this is where, you know, challenge me if you must, you know, if I don't represent in truth the teachings of the church, if you want me to advocate for, you know, the redefinition of marriage or redefining the sexual mores of the society or the of people's lives, if you want me to advocate, no, you're not gonna get that. But here's what the point I was going to make, and now I remember.
It always comes back.
I'm at the verge of forgetting it, but I come to realize that, and this is why I brought up the Kavanaugh thing.
Mm-hmm.
Society is not merciful.
No, it is not.
Is not no. merciful. There's nothing that even resembles remotely.
Mm-mm.
The virtues and the morality and the principles of Christianity, Judeo-Christianity, mm-hmm. and what we're seeing unfolding,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
the deceit, the witch hunts, the deception, the lies, it's unbelievable. The society is not merciful. The church is merciful. Her greatest attribute, which is the greatest attribute of God, is mercy. And You get the point,
mm-hmm.
but it's a little bit frightening, you know, when you find yourself in this world and you all of a sudden, here too, I'm saying and this is what has to be cleansed in the church. When all of a sudden, even in the church, there seems to be this lack of mercy, even
yes.
from those who advocate mercy, and yet the same deceptions, the same lies, the same power pools,
right?
Smearing and it's frightening. It really is. Talk about the going back the diabolical mm-hmm. disorientation. You know,
this is what I'm becoming aware of. Believe it or not, and I hope there's many out there that are becoming aware of this.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up, because this is where I say, you know, when I say, okay, I'm going to try to keep things, you know, not right. so, you know, all right, so we're not, we don't want to hear it. It's enough. No, enough people want. Because I find that people are saying, others are just, it's like it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, be silent, it'll go away.
Father, I made a mistake. I started getting into a lot of this information I have not been getting into. I've been staying away from the stories. I've been staying away from what the cardinal says, what the pope says, because I pray that this just works out. But I made the mistake. I started looking at some of these stories, and I am just totally at a point where I don't know. I do know, because what you're saying, the conscience, the
sure.
things I'm reading between the lines, and I'm getting to a point where I just can't believe
yeah.
things aren't being said.
Yeah, and then we'll take a break, Nick. I'm sorry. Just this last comment based on that. And the thing is, this is a time of great grace.
Yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
It's a very difficult time, but it's a time of great grace. We've got to search our souls. It's not just the abuse, you know, the sexual abuse or the cover-ups, but it's the whole lifestyle mm-hmm. of the shepherds,
mm-hmm.
the priests, the bishops. It's the whole lifestyle. It's a whole attitude with regards to what constitutes consecrated life, what constitutes the life of a priest. And it's all related to the sacred mysteries, the sacred liturgy, that if we don't understand the sacrificial dimension, which is primary in the celebration of the sacred mysteries, the Mass, then we're going to all be wearing clown shoes, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. We'll be right back. I want to begin today to speak about the Blessed Virgin Mary and her message, because I think there's great consolation. It's a hard message. But I think because it's coming from her, there's a great consolation. And it's not something to be dismissed. These are Vatican-approved apparitions. There's a lot of them. I'm just going to address one today. But the this is let's not dismiss this as some fantasy of some fanatics or something. No, these are attested and tried apparitions, messages that have been approved. And we don't have to, there's no requirement that we believe the apparitions or the message, but they've been approved as, in fact, worthy of belief. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loya, and I'm inviting you to a special observance of the 50th anniversary of Pope Paul VI's Humani Vitae.
Tuesday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. in the St. Mary Parish Hall, 19515 115th Avenue in Mokena, Illinois. Humani Vitae 50 Years is open to all and proudly sponsored by Two Hearts Catholic Gifts and Books. Here, Father Loya, help us discover the truth and beauty in this prophetic writing of Pope Paul VI. Join Father Loya for Humani Vitae 50 Years at St. Mary Parish Hall, 19515 115th Avenue in Mokena, Illinois, Tuesday, October 2nd at 7 p.m.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I want to get into the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because I think it's for me, it's a source of consolation. It helps me to put, it's like, you know, somebody's got your back. Somebody's listening. Right. Like somebody understands.
Right.
You know, maybe the Pope doesn't understand. Maybe the cardinals and the bishops and the priests don't understand. But somebody understands, our dear mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel, you know? But at the beginning of the show, I said, "What are we at the end of time?" I don't know that we're at the end of the time, and but you know, there are five signs.
I think it's getting close.
Well, it's always getting close. You know, it's right. There's every, like, we're all getting closer to our death, right? You know, we're all getting closer to that encounter with Christ. You know, we got to think about that too, at the end of all things. But every day is a day closer to the
the
day of the calling, right? Yeah, the hour.
And for me, I always thought that the end of the world or the end of the time for me, or for anyone, is when you pass on to the next.
Well, it is. You know,
that's how I see it.
I mean, that's
it.
The end of your time, right?
Yeah.
But the old order will pass away eventually.
Sure.
You know, we anticipate that. We're vigilant, you know, when we celebrate the Mass. And we have a whole season, the season of Advent, which is a season of vigilance and anticipating, remembering that He came and He'll come again. But the five, very quickly before I go into the apparition, is we know that the end is near when the gospel's preached to the whole world. We will know when the Israelites have converted to Christ. There's this mass conversion to Jesus Christ on the part of the Jews. That's another sign. We will know when we suffer the great apostasy, which is what the going away from the faith.
Well, we see that already.
Massive falling away. We will know when the Antichrist emerges in history. He would be called the son. We call him the son of perdition. He will be deceptive, deceiving, and so he has to emerge in history. There are many antichrists. Like right now, there are many antichrists. Anybody who's opposed to Christ, but there will be this man of perdition, son of perdition, who will emerge in history. And then, of course, there will be the tribulations, the natural disasters, and the man-made as well as just natural diseases and all that kind of stuff. So those are the five signs. The one thing that hasn't happened is this mass conversion on the part of the Jews yet. So and these others, you know, and there's signs in every generation, you know. So but anyway, I say that because we don't know, but we do understand that is the Blessed Virgin preceded her son, right? Because she gave her fiat, and by the grace of the Spirit she conceived in her womb the Son of God, the Messiah, God in the flesh. As she preceded him, she will precede him at the end. As she preceded him in the beginning, she will precede him in the end. And we'll get into that. Little by little, we'll talk about that, because right. I'm beginning to really understand how this makes so much sense, especially when the church is disfigured, when the church is guilty of, to use an Old Testament image, the church is prostituting itself. And people, when you hear that, people say, "Ah, you know, you're being very pessimistic." And you know, what about the good? Yeah, there's always good, but the evil, corruption, lack of faith. You know, that's kind of it seems to be unprecedented. The eclipse of God. Mm-hmm. You know, even within the church, when the church becomes more like a business. You know, a corporation, right. An institution without the Spirit. You know, it's not without the Spirit because God is with us, and we do have good priests, we do have good bishops, mm-hmm. and we do have good people. But anyway, so I always go off on these tangents. In the readings for this coming Sunday, very interesting. We have John, the apostle in the gospel, and he says, you know, he's very perplexed, he's disturbed, because he sees people casting out demons, driving the demons away, but they're not of the inner circle, they're not in the apostle, you know, they're not apostles. And he's disturbed by that, he's perplexed, and he says to Jesus, you know, these, they're not of our number, you know, they're not with us. They're not one of us, but they're out there driving out the demons. And Jesus, you know, he says, leave it be, let it be. They're not against us, they're with us. And I've been reflecting on this, because I'm preparing already for the letter for this coming Sunday, but this is a call to Catholics who love the faith, who've quietly endured a diabolical assault to those things they hold sacred. The laity, they're not bishops, they're not priests, they're not deacons, but they're absolutely indispensable to the cleansing of the church, the purification of the church. We uphold life, we uphold the sanctity of marriage and family, we uphold the sanctity of the clergy and the sacred liturgy as absolutely indispensable to the health and salvation of a civil and religious society. And so all of us, you know, the priest and the people, we've all been affected by the spiritual and the moral upheaval of the Judeo-Christian worldview that is really dangerously been dismissed. Now, if the clergy, by the clergy I mean the priests, the bishops, the pope, that's the hierarchy right there, the clergy, if they do not honestly and deeply address the forces perpetuating the moral and the spiritual decline of our age, the laity must take action. This is what I've been saying. You know, you've got to mature in this regard. You're not that you're not mature, but you've got to, your voices have to be heard. In the gospel this coming Sunday, it's interesting, those very hard words of Jesus. First of all, those who hold to innocence and simplicity in the faith, they've been victimized, scandalized, and or corrupted by the more powerful, the arrogant who have lost a good sense of the Christian identity and are suffering a seeming loss of faith. And again, we're going right into the clergy. You know, yep. Pope Benedict said that the problem in the church are the priests, which is the priests and the bishops. In the gospel, it says, you know, Jesus, he speaks his strongest words in defense of the innocent. You remember these words, right? Mm-hmm. He said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were drowned into the sea. Those are very, very strong words. And when he says the innocent ones, it's not just the little children. Mm-hmm. He's talking about anybody who holds to faith. You know, it's really the anawim. I always mm-hmm. speak about the humble, the simple. So, having said that, in the 17th century, this is where I said, just keeping all this in mind, it would be hard-pressed to deny the veracity, the truth of the prophetic messages of the Blessed Virgin Mary unfolding in real time in our time. So I'm going to begin with this, and just today I'm just going to talk about this in the little bit of time we have left. Begin with this one. In the 17th century, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to a nun, a religious sister, Venerable Mother Mariana de Jesus Torres in Quito, Ecuador. In Quito, Ecuador. And these are church-approved apparitions. But Our Lady offered a timeline of events that were specific. She said that shortly, just listen to this, she said that shortly after the middle of the 20th century, passions will erupt and there will be a total collapse of customs that will principally affect children. She said the sacrament of marriage will suffer with iniquitous laws that will destroy the sanctity of the family, and that the Catholic spirit will rapidly decay. The precious light of faith will gradually be extinguished until there will be an almost total and general corruption of customs. It's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The middle of the 20th century, that's when we had the Second Vatican Council, which was a good in and of itself. How it was interpreted and implemented, mm-hmm. that's another story.
Yes.
But right after the council, you had the great sexual revolution, and then, you know, I lived through that, you know, so all this, that was already shortly after the middle of the mm-hmm. 20th century. And go ahead.
And you see how it's gradually getting worse. We're seeing the signs.
Yeah, the results.
Yes.
Yeah, you think this is 17th century, but, you know, from heaven's perspective, there is no time and mm-hmm. space,
right?
Right? And even if she's speaking to Ecuador, to Quito, Ecuador, it's just as she said in Rwanda, it's not that I've just come for the people of Kibeho or the people of Kigali or the people of Rwanda or the people of Africa. I've come for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So her message is for all people, for all time,
yes.
or for this time, mm-hmm. certainly. So what does she say of the priests? We'll take a break. We'll come back. And very interesting mm-hmm. what she says of the priest. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
On Saturday night, October 6th, from 7 until 9, at St. Stanislaus Kostka, Father Angel Espinoza will give a special talk on the urgent need to train your children in the seven fields of true education. The talk will be in Spanish. Here's Christina to tell you more.
El sábado 6 de octubre de 2018, en las 7 de la tarde a las 9 de la noche, la parroquia de San Estanislao Kostka y el Padre Ángel Espinoza los invitan a una conferencia sobre cómo les estamos enseñando a nuestros hijos la fe. ¿Estamos enseñando la fe popular y nada más por encima? ¿O realmente estamos enseñándoles a vivir la fe de una manera profunda, a practicarla diariamente en su vida? Regístrate y compra tu boleto de $30 en la página del web www.ststanschurch.org. El cupo es limitado, solo se venderán 5 boletos por persona. Para más información, favor de llamar a la parroquia al 773-278-2470, de nuevo 773-278-2470. De nuevo el sábado 6 de octubre del 2018, de las 7 de la tarde a las 9 de la noche, en la iglesia de San Estanislao Kostka, ubicada al 1327 Norte de la Noble en Chicago. Los esperamos.
For complete information and ticket purchase information, go to ststandschurch.org and click on the events tab.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Please join in praying a rosary for our nation by joining in Rosary Coast to Coast, Saturday, October 7th at 3 p.m. at the Access Health Center, 1700 75th Street in Downers Grove, Illinois. For more information, see rosarycoasttocoast.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I'm speaking here about the apparitions, the messages, prophetic messages of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I want to, in the days or the weeks to come, you know, try to unpack some of this, because I find for myself it's a source of consolation. Because, as I said in the previous segment, it's like, well, somebody understands, somebody knows, somebody's not going to whitewash or, you know, just kind of be silent and, you know, it's going to blow over or whatever. It's not, this is not going to, because this is what we're going through now is a crisis that's going to be with us for a long time. And it's symptomatic of what's happening in the society. Yeah. And this is, in a sense, where the church, you know, bears the sins of the world. And most, especially those who are keeping faith and suffering the faith. You know, again, the false deities, as Pope Benedict said, the false deities will be unmasked through the suffering faith of simple believers. But I'm talking about the apparitions, going back to these apparitions in the 17th century in Ecuador, in Quito, the capital, given to Mother Mariana de Jesus Torres. I just mentioned before the break that she said, Our Lady said, the Blessed Mother, that after the middle of the 20th century, passions will erupt. There'll be a total collapse of customs that will principally affect children. She said the sacrament of marriage will suffer with iniquitous laws that will destroy the sanctity of the family, and that the Catholic spirit will rapidly decay. The precious light of faith will gradually be extinguished until there will be an almost total and general corruption of customs. Of the priests, listen to this, very interesting. Mm. The Blessed Virgin Mary said, the priests will be ridiculed, oppressed, and despised. The devil will persecute the priest in every possible way. He will labor with cruel and subtle astuteness to deviate the priests from the spirit of their vocation and will corrupt many of them. Mm. These depraved priests will scandalize the Christian people, will make the hatred of bad Catholics and the enemies of the church fall upon all priests.
Wow.
That is interesting, isn't it?
Can we see that?
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Further, she said, in these unhappy times, there will be unbridled luxury which will ensnare the rest into sin and conquer innumerable frivolous souls who will be lost. Innocence will almost no longer be found in children.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Nor modesty in women. The vices of impurity, blasphemy and sacrilege will dominate in this time of depravity. Wow. That's really interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She said, the Blessed Virgin Mary said, this is in Quito, in Ecuador, in the 17th century, that a simple and humble faith in the truth of her apparitions will be reserved for the humble and fervent who are docile to the inspirations of grace, and that our Heavenly Father communicates his secrets to the simple of heart, not to those whose hearts are inflated with pride, pretending to know what they do not. This is the whole mystique of the Anawim. I always speak about the Anawim, but the simple, mm-hmm. the humble. Mm-hmm. And again, I'll go back to what Pope Benedict said, the false deities will be unmasked through the simple faith of humble, simple believers. She said to the faithful, the Blessed Virgin Mary said, pray insistently without tiring and weep with bitter tears in the secrecy of your heart, imploring our Celestial Father that for love of the Eucharistic heart of my most beloved Son, my most holy Son, and his precious blood shed with such generosity and by the profound bitterness and sufferings of his cruel passion and death, he might take pity on his priests and quickly bring to an end those ominous times. Mm-hmm. You know, and that right there points to the whole mystery of the sacred liturgy. If we deviate, and we have, from the sacrificial, and it just becomes a happy meal, you know, a banquet.
All about us.
All about us, you know. Then we suffer the loss of identity. Mm-hmm. Sacred identity, sacred consecration leads to a loss of faith. And you know, you can't, I say this so often, we're not entertainers. And if we feel like you have to entertain every time you celebrate the Mass, you got to keep the people, you know. I was watching, it's just so gross, you know. Most people probably don't look at these things, but I, you know, I follow the blogs or whatever, the mm-hmm. websites, you know, because I try to keep a tune of what's going on in the church. And the crazy things that happen in the Mass, in the liturgy, it's pure and simple sacrilege. But they had there was a church in New York City. I just saw it the other day. I forgot the name of the church, but because a priest has been now defrocked because of a homosexual relationship he has with somebody, but he. There was a video of his Mass, mm-hmm. and he's got the people doing the wave. You know what the wave is?
Yeah.
During the Mass? He's singing.
It's like being at a baseball game.
I think it might have been a Christmas Eve Mass or something like that. But it was, they took a secular song, I forgot what song it was, and he's dancing to it on the, not on top of the altar, but in the sanctuary. Jeez. And everybody's, you know, and then he has everybody do the wave from the front to the back.
Oh, my God.
And they all participate in that, and it's just, it's unbelievable. Here in Chicago, too, you got churches where, I'm not going to mention, you know, but somebody sent me the video of one not too far from here, and it's like a love fest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like a love fest.
I saw two. One, both of them were in California. They're known for their interesting masses. One of them, the priest was dressed as Barney? Yeah, at the Mass.
I love you, you love me.
Yes, Barney? That one, the purple dinosaur. And the people that were serving up, they were dressed as different characters.
Wow.
To me, that's a mockery.
Absolutely.
Sacrilege. And then this other one, it was Halloween. And so they were dressed also, like one was dressed, and to me that was, it was disgusting. And it's like a stabbing in the heart, you know? The ministers of extraordinary ministers of communion, one woman was dressed as the devil and distributing communion.
My gosh. Wow.
I was like, what the heck is this? What is this?
How could somebody allow this? I mean, how?
Evil. And to them, it's like, oh, no, we're celebrating. You know, it's all happy. And they're all dressed in costumes.
I think I saw Christina. I saw this video of, because there was an announcement that there's a group of women, they have the sympathy of some other men or priests or whatever, and they call themselves priests, women priests in the Catholic Church. They're kind of the underground.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw videos of the liturgies, and it's an outright sacrilege.
Mm-hmm.
It's an outright sacrilege. We celebrate the Mass ad orientem, mm-hmm. toward the east, and since doing that, it's almost been a year now, and I just, it just is so right.
It makes a difference.
People love it. They have a sense of, well, you guys are there, you know.
Yes, mm-hmm. the
There's
reverence.
A sense of the reverence. The,
yes.
It's like we, and you hear the prayers of the Mass.
Yes.
And, you know, it is about the sacrifice, and it's our offering, it's the sacrifice of our lives in union with Christ, you know, to the Father, that we then are fed with his body and blood, so that the Lord reproduces life in us, so that we're sent into the mission to be that light in darkness, mm-hmm. but to fight the good fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we got to take a final break, and we'll come back, and I just want to conclude with this, but very interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
These messages that come from Quito, Ecuador, in the 17th century. Right now, we experience in real time, in our time.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change at AM 750 WNDZ.
Floors as low.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org.
Thanks for being with us as we kind of wrap up now. Kind of, how are we going? Oh, kind of. When am I going to get rid of that kind of as we do wrap up? But yeah, that's why I'm sharing with you these apparitions. And these are one set of apparitions of many. And I, you know, in the time to come, I want to deal with those. We talked a little bit, but I'll come back to La Salette, to Lourdes, to Fatima, Amsterdam. Our Lady of All Nations, Akita, Japan, Rwanda. But in these apparitions, Our Lady comes under the title Our Lady of Good Success, which doesn't sound quite right, but in Spanish it means a little something different, you know. It would be translated like Our Lady of...
What is it in Spanish?
Well, the same thing, Nuestra Señora del Suceso.
Oh, suceso.
Suceso. But it'd be of good outcome.
Yes.
It would be more translated like Our Lady of Good Outcome. In other words, that all this will, this is, you know, and this is the consolation. First, the consolation for me is that this heavenly acknowledgement, that heaven acknowledges, even if you know, in a deep spiritual way, we're not addressing, mm-hmm. you know, what's at the root of this, mm-hmm. the loss of Christian identity, the loss of the faith, you know, and it's just not the sex scandals and the cover-ups, but it's also lifestyles and this the desecration of the liturgy, and you know, it becomes all about us, and we're going to befriend the world, and yeah, we love the world, we're here mm-hmm. for the world, but Jesus says you're going to be at enmity with the world. But we can't dismiss these messages as mere fantasies of the fanatical, you know. They're consistent with the prophetic themes of sacred scripture, mm-hmm. the teachings of the church, the words of the saints down through the ages, you know. And again, that gospel, this coming Sunday, Jesus, we find the apostle John perplexed as he saw those who are not in the inner circle driving out demons in the name of Jesus. Mm. And he complained to Jesus, who simply replied, "Let it be, they are with us." And the point is that you do not underestimate, you, the laity, do not underestimate the grace you have to drive out the demons of our age. Mm-hmm. Our Lady said, pray the rosary for conversion and peace. Pray for the Holy Father, for bishops and priests. Pray for marriage and family. Pray for the young. Pray that life be welcomed, cherished, and protected. Pray that faith be accepted and lived to the full. You got to let your voices be heard. This is absolutely crucial at this time. So it begins with prayer. And she, St. Louis Marie de Montfort and Pope John Paul II spoke about this, about that she, the Blessed Virgin Mary, as she preceded the first coming, she will precede the second coming, that she will bring about the coming of her Son. She will prepare the people. She will have for herself an army, you know, who are going to do combat with the sword of the Spirit, the rosary, the chain, the weapon that binds us to God. And this is, we're going to be asking people to please, you know, begin, especially as we move toward October, let's commit to daily pray the rosary for conversion and for peace, as she asked in Fatima, because good will prevail. Light will dispel the darkness. Life will come from death. But we have to suffer the consequences of this moral, spiritual degradation that is in the world and has infiltrated in subtle, deceitful, but big ways into the life of the church. We have to remain those faithful Catholics who are humble and simple and submit, surrender, consecrate our lives to Almighty God, to the Immaculate Virgin Mary, through her heart, into the heart of Jesus, through Jesus to the Father, all by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Time is now.